Do you remember, did you ever watch Vine back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember the hot tub one? Two bros sitting at the fire pit, 6 feet apart because they're not gay.
Did you ever hear the Luke put the 50 on Finn, I think.
Yeah, but okay. So
Sorry. It's up to you which way around you put the things. I was saying have one point of you.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, cut. But I think the better quality one is the 50mm, which should be on you, not me.
You said the Luke Combs Vines.
Yeah, so
did
there
he
was.
Start on Vine, right? That's
did
crazy.
You? No, he did. Oh yeah, I think he did start on Vine. Just but I was talking clips. About the his song 6 Feet Apart. Did you hear that?
No, is that what it's about?
So in yeah, maybe. no, in COVID, he came out with a song called 6 Feet Apart, and it was about like being 6 feet apart. We were referring to it as 2 meters, I think, weren't we? Like ours was like, oh, stay 2 meters.
Like that.
But in America, they were like 6 feet apart, and he wrote a song called 6 Feet Apart, and it was really catchy, actually.
I don't think I heard
really
that. Good. I didn't hear it.
But. Yeah, I think it was more like a he kind of it was like a it felt like something he'd written overnight and gone, oh yeah, this is good. I'll post it.
One of those
and then
ones.
Like COVID released it as a single. That's probably why it's not as popular.
Man, some good songs came out in COVID times.
Yeah.
Was there any songs that were like about COVID at COVID times that popped off? I don't remember many.
Noah Kahan mentions COVID in
Stick Season.
Stick Season.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
He's like, there's COVID
that's
on
been
the
out,
plane.
Was that out around COVID though?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you're right. That's a good one.
So
yeah,
that was.
Damn, I should have written a song about COVID, man. I missed the bullet.
It's not too late. You can be like, bye bye COVID.
Bring it
see
back.
See you again.
bring it back. Get me time of work. Hell yeah.
Okay, so are we good then? Yeah. Cool.
We rolling, huh?
Hi, Finn Pearson. How are you doing?
I'm good, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having us. Very nice fire set up. And,
hell yeah, man, it is, eh?
Very nice crib.
Can you see the fire set up on the cameras, too? Does it catch it?
Yes.
On the edges?
Hmm.
Okay. You have to get like a quick shot of showing it so everyone knows what's going on.
Yeah. So, what have you been doing in the studio all weekend?
Damn, man. That's a big question to ask. I've been working. I've been cooking. This weekend specifically, I started a new song actually, and this was one that I wrote at the start of the week. Thought, damn, this is quite fun and catchy. Let me produce it, and it's already done. So it was like the fastest start to finish project I've ever had. It's a song called Second Kick, and maybe you'll hear it later on. But I've been grafting. I've been working. I've been hanging out in my studio. They have a dog and a cat. And I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, nice.
But I love them, so I've been sneezing.
So you've got that nasally sound on your tracks.
Oh, like. Yeah, man. Yes, that's it. But it's just been fun.
So what's the song called?
Second Kick, this one's called. I've got a few more coming, but this one's called Second Kick. The whole tagline is, there's no lesson to be learned in the second kick when you're stood behind a horse. Basically.
Oh, okay.
So saying, like, if you get hurt,
yeah, yeah.
And then you get hurt for the same thing again.
Yeah, I like it.
There's no
it.
Lesson to be learned there. You've done it yourself, you know? That's the whole thing. So it's proper country, proper folky. Kind of like a John Prine sound, so
okay.
I'm loving it, and it's already done, which is so exciting. So there you go.
That's what I like about your style is that you've got a very I hate when like going on YouTube or whatever, and you see like a new artist, and there's like tons of comments where people are like, oh, you sound so much like so and so, and this and that. But like, I can't help but hear like traditional artists in your voice and your style, like Bob Dylan and like John Prine and
man, so. I hear it a lot. I got complimented at a show last weekend. Somebody said my writing was a bit like John Prine.
Mm-hmm.
I think for my style, that's like the biggest compliment. It's funny, I've never really listened to much John Prine, but the artists that I listen to, they were inspired by John Prine, and I hear them talking so highly of him. So when I get that passed down to me, you know, it's almost like a grandfather compliment. It's like filled down through the generations of artists. Yeah. And it feels good to hear that. So, yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. So what inspired you to kind of write then? Because I do notice that, you know, you've got some good writing skills.
Thank you, man. I mean, I picked up the guitar and I taught myself to write. To be fair, I taught myself to play first. And truthfully, it was like a therapy thing at one point. For me, a long, long, long time ago, I was going through some stuff where, I was that kind of guy where in a relationship, you know, they'll be sat there and they'll be, worried about where their partner is when they're going out getting drunk and stuff and this and that. And I was always overthinking and getting all crazy about stuff. And I was never the kind of guy to be crazy, but it would bug me. And I'd be like in my room at night checking social media, seeing where they're at kind of thing. And I spoke to some guy about it and he was like, oh man, have you ever tried doing something that's like productive where you can like learn a new skill?
Get alive.
Get off your phone, get alive, yeah. And I thought, damn, no, I'm not. You know, I'm just there sat on my phone like, and every 5 minutes I'd be watching a YouTube video, I'd be jumping back on Instagram, seeing if they've posted. And it was just a cycle and it was so boring and so tedious. And it was around the uni time where I had this partner who was in uni, always going out. And it was like every night. And I was like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of sitting around feeling like some weirdo, just like worrying. So I picked up the guitar and I taught myself to play, and instantly I just hit it off. And it was just one of them hobbies where you start it and it just feels right. And I loved writing, just like picking melodies and kind of chord progressions and stuff. And there was nothing really to it before. I started like learning other people's songs. I was listening to a lot of country back then, so I used to learn most other country artists' songs and sing them. And it was just me on my own in my room with a guitar for a while. And then I found out a few friends of mine did music and they were singing and they were producing stuff, which was a completely new world to me. And yeah, eventually we got to the point where we linked up for the first time. We started doing some jamming together. We started writing a little bit together. And we were having so much fun with it. And music became like a weekly thing for us at that point. We kind of got into it and, you know, then that kind of turned into almost like rehearsals in a way. It wasn't like a serious thing back then, but like my friend Ollie was doing music and he had a song out, and he was trying to promote it, and I was kind of just in that circle watching him do his whole thing from the sidelines. And then I wrote my first debut single, which is Tend to Be, which is out now. And I showed it to them and I was really proud of it because it was like my first solo thing. You know, I'd learned to do guitar, I'd learned to write, I'd written a song, I could pick it and I could sing it at the same time. I showed it to them. They were really proud of me and they loved it. And I think they must have hyped me up a little bit too much, to be honest, because a couple of weeks later, I got it produced. And I met my producer, Ed, and it was the first time I'd seen this side of the world. And it had then gone from me at home on my own in my room picking on this guitar to having friends supporting it, and then meeting a producer and putting it together, and it all felt really real. And then performing it live at some open mics and stuff. And it was just like, it's one of them cool stories where it's all been because of my decisions and like what I've been brave enough to kind of do. You know, it starts with just like picking up the guitar, and then it goes to singing a little bit, and then it goes to writing and producing. And
yeah, do you feel like it's all happened naturally, or have you got to a stage where you've had to kind of go, no, this is what I want to do and this is what I need to keep doing?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm more at now. When I first started, I never knew where things would go. I produced my first single and I just thought, like, you know, when you produce a song, these are the things you have to do, which is like the promo content and, you know, the little shows and
stuff. Yeah,
and it was just like, I felt like that's like what I had to do. And I put the first song out. Obviously, I've never done music before. I'm not famous. I don't have a big following online. I basically put it out, said to a few people, oh, the song's out, go have a listen. And it didn't do loads and loads of streams, obviously. So I'm thinking, oh, no.
I need to quit.
I'm like, this sucks. I'm awful. But then I had to sit there for a minute and I remembered, like, I never did this at all for streams. Like, when I started learning how to play in my room back in the day, it wasn't for streams. It was just because it was like a therapy thing for me. I've really found peace and like enjoyment in music. And that's why I do it. I love the whole process. And don't get me wrong, I love putting a song out, showing it to people and getting a good reaction.
Yeah,
that's what kind of gave me the confidence and the push to start.
Yeah.
And I still love that now. But it doesn't matter if it's, you know, like one or two people like I had back then, just my friends in a room, or whether like sometimes, you know, I put a song out and then I've got a room full of people at a venue singing it back to me. The feeling is still the same and it hits me right in the heart when I hear people enjoying the music I put out, and it makes them feel something.
Yeah.
Which is, it's why I do it now. But it's, yeah, it's got to the point now where I'm thinking, damn, I love this enough that I want to take it seriously for sure. And that means you have to kind of try and make the right moves to get further. And, you know, I've only been doing this thing like, what, a year and a half now, maybe, if that, just over. So I'm still really new to it. I'm finding my way, just winging it. But yeah, I think I'm at a point where I see a future doing this for myself, and I see it being a happy future. So hopefully the way things are going, we're gonna get somewhere good.
Yeah. You know? No, it reminds me of like Luke Combs' song, What Would You Do? I can't remember what it's called.
I know what you mean. What would you be doing? I'd still be doing this.
If you weren't doing this, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, he'd be playing to to like empty bars.
Yeah, man.
Know, even if he wasn't Luke Combs.
Those are the best times. I hear every big artist talk about back in the day when they first started, you know, like playing the dive bars to like empty rooms, going to a show, messing up all the songs and no one being there to listen.
That's an interesting transition to talk about what we're doing in the UK, because, you know, like with promotion of Ron's Honky Tonk, you know, that's basically what got us together.
Hell yeah, man.
Because I found that, you know, I don't know about you, but I've heard all these stories about these artists in the US, you know, moving to places like Nashville and wherever. It's the same with the Hollywood thing. It's like, you know, with actors that went to Hollywood and they're trying to make it there. And you know, now country artists or any artists really are trying to move to Nashville. And, you know, they're incredible artists, incredible voices, are playing to like empty bars there.
Yeah.
And there's something special about the UK that we have, you know, isn't there? That there's a lot happening here. We've even got artists coming over from the US and finding that they're making it in a better light here than they would in the US. So, you know, we've definitely got something special. You know, it reminded me as well of we went to Ireland about a month ago, and on the plane I stuck on this I downloaded a documentary about Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, Sweet Home Alabama and all those tunes. It was a 3-hour documentary, and their career for the first 10 years, some of their best stuff got put out in the first few years, and no one cared. Everyone thought they were rubbish. No one was interested, and if it weren't for I think Ronnie Van Zant, that might be his name, the lead singer. If it weren't for him, like, motivating the rest of the band, being like, no, this is what we're doing, this is what we're good at, we're going to make it, we're going to get in front of the right people, you know, they wouldn't have made it, like, to who they're known as today. Unfortunately, most of them are dead because they died in a plane crash. But, you know, so it's interesting. So, yeah, definitely fight through, because you've got something special.
Yeah, thank you, man. I think it's all about remembering that it's not for everyone. You know, I've played songs and people have gone, this sucks. So even like, I don't know, even like me myself sometimes. Yeah, even myself
who
sometimes.
Who said that?
I've heard like myself play live and I'm like, damn, this sucks. But, you know, I'm finding my way. I'm finding my sound. I'm finding my feet. I'm finding my voice. I'm starting singing lessons for the first time next week.
Okay,
finally. And
investing in yourself then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big journey. You find yourself and then you find people who connect to that.
Yeah.
And the way I've done things so far, I've kind of started, I've got 4 songs out now and they're all completely different. They're all versatile and unique sounds. And
yeah,
each one's connected to different people, I find. I think like Reno Willow, my second song, was like outlaw country. That connected way more in America. People were saying, damn, this is better than the stuff in Nashville today, you know, like proper country, whatever. Whereas my latest single that came out just a couple weeks ago, I Can Do It, it's more like a bluesy, soulful
kind of song. I'd say that's my favourite one.
Yeah.
Like, we've been listening to that, like, on repeat.
That's cool, man. But people have, like, favourites, they have preferences, they sometimes like one and then they don't like the other. And sometimes people, you know, they listen to their favourite artists just because they like them as a person, and there's a million different reasons why, you know, people listen to people.
So what's your thought process moving forward then? Are you, like, leaning more into what you think people prefer, or are you going to lean into more like what feels natural? And like you say, the songs are different, because I Can Do is for me it feels a lot more Red Clay Strays kind of style, which I really like. Like I sent you that
if
Zac Top comes to UK, I will cry.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know those rumors, I was meant to be playing on a lineup with him in the summer just gone, actually.
Right, okay.
There was an event that fell through and I was devastated. There you are.
So yeah, but what would you say you lean into more? Like,
definitely for me, it's just what feels right, and there's no genre that feels right. I've been experimenting with music for 1.5 years and I love trying new sounds. You know, some of my favorite artists from any genre are the ones that kind of bend them and like break out the mold and break the rules a bit. I mean, people say like, oh, it's not real country, this and that, about loads of artists out there. But look, if you enjoy listening to the songs, then you enjoy listening to them. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. And I have the most fun personally making music that I would enjoy listening to, which is why, like, I put out songs now that I listen to. I listen to my own music, like, more than most people probably. Yeah. Just because it's such a fun process, and you're like, there's little details that nobody notices apart from me, and there's all sorts of stuff going on in the background, and backing vocals and harmonies that are just like my friends singing on my songs and stuff like that. But everything I do is like what feels natural to me in the moment. And like, even with something like I Can Do, which is completely genre bending for me so far, it was just such a fun project. Everything that you see and hear creatively was all me. So I did like I kind of guided how I wanted the song to sound, and then how I wanted the visuals to look around it. And I edited everything myself and kind of built this like stage character around it.
Yeah.
There go the geese. See if you catch that on camera. They fly over every night.
Awesome.
But yeah, nah, I don't think there's any right or wrong way. For me, it's all just about, you know, what feels right. And if I'm enjoying it, then that's what matters, I think, the most, to be honest.
So what tell me more about I Can Do with the visuals. Because also the sound quality is so good. Like the production of it as well. Just even with like little, you know, basic AirPods, it's just sounds cool. So good. So how did what was kind of the thought process? Because I wrote down, this is kind of like a secondary question. Tell me how much you'd learn to swim in such deep waters. Like, who's that about, eh?
Right. I'll give you the exclusive. There we go again. Look, there's so much geese around here. First thing you said was obviously about the visuals. I Can Do was inspired for me by 60s kind of country, I guess. Look, there you go again. And it was like Red Clay Strays, Elvis, okay, so kind of that sort of genre, nice. Like a bit dirty sounding, kind of rocky, soul-y, bluesy country, right?
Yeah.
And all of the content was more built around kind of like a Steven Sanchez kind of vibe. I don't know if you know him. He's not country really. He did that song from that Netflix series where what's it called? Until I Found You. Big song. It's got like loads of streams. Young guy, super talented. And around his latest album, it was all, you know, red velvet curtains and like slicked back black shiny Elvis grease lightning kind of hair. Okay. And it was all filmed with like old school vintage cameras and filters and playing on jazzy guitars. And, you know, I just loved the whole aesthetic around it. And I thought, damn, I'd love to do this. So I have a friend called Dan who runs his own private company that does film, usually for like companies and stuff, Dan Wright. And I hit him up because I knew he had the setup. And I said, look, here's the visual like concept. What do you think? And he said, damn, this looks cool. Let's do it. So he helped me out. We hit up a venue, or I did, which was a big like theater basically in Fleet, where I think you just were today. And I knew it was a cool venue because it had a big velvet curtain, had a big backdrop covered in like stars, had a fog machine, had a disco ball, had everything you'd ever need.
I think we walked past that today. Yeah,
it's called the Harlington. And I hit him up. I said, look, can I come in? They said, yeah, sure. And it was like £70 for like an hour. I went in there with my friend Becky. We just filmed some visuals on our phone, and then I came home, and then I produced the song even more and thought, damn, this song's getting somewhere now. This content doesn't live up to the hype. So I hit him up again. I said, look, can I come back in and try over? I'm going to bring my mate Dan with me this time with his big camera set up, and we're gonna do it properly. They said, yeah, it's going to be £300 this time for the same thing.
What?
I'm thinking, hold on, what a scam. But I was like, damn, I really need to do this. So went in there, set up all the cameras. So we had like the whole day. We had a man
maybe
working.
They did their research on you.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe they just thought this guy took, like last time, he took the mic a little bit, he threw flowers around and he was doing this all. Yeah, I made a bit of a mess. The first time we did a film shoot there, it was all like roses and stuff. We were like throwing them at me while I was playing on stage. It was all like cool. We just left a bit of a mess there, so it's probably because of that. We cleaned up best we could. I went back anyway. We had a man doing like the disco ball and the lights for us, and we did a bunch of amazing, cool content. I spent ages editing all of it, and it was like exactly what I wanted the visuals to look like to go with the song. It gave like an old school 60s vibe. I chopped it up. I made like, it took days. I made like 85 different short clips ready for like TikTok. I made like a music video, lyrics video kind of thing, and all sorts of other content for it. And I started uploading it to like TikTok and Instagram and stuff. And no one saw it. It's just, it's one of them things where like TikTok, it will push your video to the For You page sometimes. Yeah. And that's all I've really ever done for promo. I'm not promo trained. I don't have a manager. I don't have anyone doing it for me. I don't have a marketing team. So I was just there cutting up videos, putting them on TikTok or Instagram, and they were getting like zero views. No comments, no likes, no one saw it. And even to this day, it's been out like a couple of weeks and like barely anyone knows it's out there. But it was one of them things where I had such a fun day on set, you know, dressing up to the nines, like performing with a disco ball and a man doing, I had a film crew there, like three or four people working with me, and it was just such a fun project. I like the song, I like the content.
I don't care
if it gets
it's
zero
definitely
views.
My favorite,
like, yeah, like some my guitarist Sid, it's his favorite as well, he loves it, and he was like, this song's gonna do so great, and then it just didn't.
It's one of them
funny ones where, you know,
think to the Lynyrd Skynyrd thing, like,
yeah, I'm not this is what I'm saying. If I was driven by numbers, I would have given up and been like, I fell off. But the truth is, like, it doesn't matter if I'm putting out content that I in my heart think is cool, and the song sounds cool and the video looks cool, I'm sure there'll be a couple people out there who agree, and then, you know, maybe in like 10 years time it will resurface and people go, damn, how did I not know you did this 10 years ago?
Yeah, how did we miss this?
Yeah. Maybe, fingers crossed. But yeah, you never know.
Like Zach Bryan's head and self.
Yeah, man, you never ever know. But I had such a fun time doing the whole thing. It was a great project, and it's all out now. So people are watching and they want to go check out this content that's mysterious that no one's ever seen. It's out there. So go find it.
Awesome.
There you are.